of the greatest problems that the church has today is that we don't know how to be happy. Despite of the fact that the Bible says in Jeremiah that you and I supposed to know this. But one of the greatest challenges that the church of the 21st century has is the fact that we don't know how to be happy. And the greatest challenge for your happiness is not the economy. It's not. The greatest challenge for our happiness is not the communist with a gun ready to shoot us because we are Christians. It's not. The greatest challenge for you, health and happiness, relies on your family and your thoughts. I want you to follow me here right now. If you had, say, one child, follow me here right now, and you decide that you're going to follow Jesus with all your heart, but because you did not have 100% support of your spouse, that child will be wavering back and forth. Are you with me? Are you with me? When that spouse was not present on the picture, the devil will use that as an excuse in the life of your children so that they can go out and get messed up. You still with me, right? Now, instead of believing God to take care of our children, we start fighting, trying to convince our children that they are wrong. They, in turn, shoot right back and make our lives miserable. So you let your happiness go away by a simple trick that the devil used. I had a lovely person call here. Why is it that my children never listen to me? So because you're not God. If God does not bring them, you're going to die with ulcers. Jesus said, no one come to me except the Father brings them. You can spend your whole lifetime fighting your children or your spouse, trying to convert them, and you will get frustrated, you will get sick, and you will die before your time is due. What do you mean to do? It's my family. Yeah. It's your family. You can do something better. Put up there for me, brother. Acts 16, 30 and 31. Watch this. It's a very simple thing, but we miss it all the time. We have unlearned how to be happy. Acts 16, 30 and 31. We have unlearned how to be happy because we are taking the place of the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not. Yes, we are. When we are trying to convince our children to follow in our footsteps, it's a work that only the Holy Ghost can do, not you. What am I supposed to do? This fellow here is in charge of a whole prison system. Dozens and dozens of criminals, hardcore criminals, are under his surveillance. He had the keys for every single cell. Now, he has these two nutcakes, Peter and John, singing praises to the Lord at midnight. This is what happiness is all about. You'll be able to sing to God even when everything else seems crazy around us. That's not what it's saying. Maybe, Brother Harry, maybe you should start on verse 20. Make it easy for the folks here. Same chapter. Let's go to verse 20 and then you just scroll down and double-click one by one. That will give you understanding. The whole city is in uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. All lies. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas and the city officials. Did I see Peter and John? My Lord, have mercy. It's Paul and Silas. I'm thinking about Peter and John. It's Paul and Silas. And the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. Now, how could you be happy being butt naked and beat up in front of a crowd? They were severely beaten and then were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they did not escape. Maximum security. 24. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. These fellows are not only in the solitary, as we call today. Back then it was in a dungeon. Today it's called solitary. They are not only in the solitary. They have chains clamped to their feet. Make sure they don't escape. Now, verse 25 tells us, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. On the old days, they used to have a song that says, happiness is to know the Savior. You remember? Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. You remember the song? Can you think about these guys have been stripped butt naked, beat up in front of a crowd, and thrown on the solitary, yet naked, and had a piece of chain tied up to their foot so they couldn't go nowhere. And it's midnight now, they can't sleep, so let's pray. What? Let's pray. And they are praying and singing amidst of all of this. So what you're saying? Happiness does not come, or happiness should never be based on the outward circumstances. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Happiness should never, ever, ever, ever come from or be based upon outward circumstances. This is why if the doctor says you have cancer, so what? Baloney. What do you mean baloney? We know somebody who can override what you said.
That's right.
Plain and simple. These fellas are singing and praying at midnight. And guess this, get this. And the other prisoners were listening. That's jail ministry right at its best. Next voice. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundation. In tough time, when God's people pray and praise, whatever prison there may be will be shaken to the foundation.
Yeah.
And this is where we miss. You see, what does it got to do with family? I want you to stay with me here. I want you to see their obstacle right now, their problem right now was, number one, nakedness, beating, number two, a jail cell, number three, shackles on their foot, number four, and even the shame and embarrassment to have other prisoners looking at their butts. Nevertheless, these people didn't give up their happiness because of their circumstances. They chose to pray and sing to God amidst of their circumstances. And when that kind of thinking and attitude is in our lives, the very foundation of the thing that is kept us, has kept us bond, will be shaken. And you know what? Satan has no other choice but to lose it. Watch this. It says, all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. When you are praying and you are singing to your God in the midst of that trouble with your family members, not only you going to be benefited, but people around you will feel the effect of your prayers, and they will be benefited. Listen to verse 27. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. This fellow didn't know Jesus. Now you're supposed to be guarding, and you're sleeping? He assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. One of the greatest enemies of life is assumption. In 33 years of counseling, Christian counseling, time and over again, couples get in trouble with each other because of assumption. First thing that came through this fellow's head was he assumed that all the prisoners had escaped. Well, get off of your butt and go look. He's about to kill himself based in an assumption. Are you with me here? So how does that translate to me and my children? Well, you might be assuming that your children is going to go straight to hell. Who are you? Can you read into people's heart, people's mind? Can you read their future? No. So why are you assuming that your child is going to be in hell? You better watch over yourself. Instead of assuming, pray and sing like Paul and Silas did. Watch this. Verse 28. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here." Many times we made mistakes in our life based on assumptions. I met a young lady that decided to get married at the age of 17. She didn't even get married. She ran away with another guy because she thought she would be happier by the side of this guy. Just to discover that she got beat up every single day for 10 years. You abandon church, you abandon Jesus, and you run away with a punk that told you that you're the most beautiful person on the planet, and you left home because you thought that's going to be better than home. Home is hell. Just to find out on the first week that living together life was hellishier than what I had home. I know another young lady that grew up in our fellowship in downtown. Abandon the church, go marry an unbeliever. And she assumed that was the best thing for her life. Just to find out that the fellow is demon possessed, and when the demon come upon him, he start cutting himself. Many times, making assumption of things can cause you a lot of trouble, can even put your life in danger. Instead of assuming, get off of your butt and do something about it. This fellow is sleeping here. And when tragedy kicks in, he wants to kill himself, assuming that everybody was gone. No. Don't kill anybody. We are here. Listen to the next verse. The jailer called for light and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. There's something interesting here. All the doors of the prison were open, right? Yes. There wasn't enough light to see clearly, because it says that he asked for light. But it was light enough for him to see that the doors were open. Are you still with me? So in the midst of this whole thing, he didn't run to cell one, to cell two, or three, or four, or five, or ten. He went straight to the dungeon. Why did he go to the dungeon? Because there was a light on that cell. The light of God produced by the prayers and by the singing and praises of God's people. Are you with me here? You know, the very ones that will put you in a tough time and situation, when we learn to praise and worship God and just pray that God will do what God alone can do, these very people will be the ones to come and kneel before you. This is the man who carried them to the dungeon. That very man now turns around and come and kneel down before the one that he put in jail. I stand and understand what does in God with my family. Perhaps some of us here has been kept enslaved by family members. You can't enjoy life because you always worried about your family. I want them to get saved. I got bad news for you. Somebody else wants them to get saved more than you do. His name is Jesus. And he went so far as giving his life for that loved one. What do I do? Verse 30 tell you what to do. Watch this. Computer work in the name of Jesus. Then he brought them out and ask, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I do love when they ask me that. I love when they ask me that. Sure, I'll tell you right now what to do to be saved. Verse 31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with." So you say, all this thing here is to tell me, to tell you that instead of being worried about the family member that is not in yet, follow me here, instead of losing your sleep, instead of the gray hair and the ulcer, thinking about the family member that's not in yet, do the opposite. You got to believe in Jesus. And when you believe in Jesus, it's going to have a rippling effect. It says in here that when you believe in Jesus, you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. Say everyone. That means your husband, your wife. That means your children. And if your grandchildren ever came home to spend a weekend, they are part of your household. They are in too. And I will even throw in your in-laws. Anybody that came to your house and dwelled within your walls for 7 days, they're going to be contaminated by something called salvation. Because you are saved. Are you with me here? Wow. So how does this tie with happiness? If you don't have faith enough to believe that Jesus, the same Jesus who saved you, will save your family, you're going to be miserable until the day you die. Are you with me so far? Whoa. Say again. If you don't have faith to believe that the same Jesus who saved you is able and capable to keep his word, you will die miserable. And now I'm going to throw some eggs at you. You may start questioning your salvation. What kind of crazy statement is this? I want you to follow this. They replied, this is Paul and Silas, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Is that right? Along with everyone in your household. There's a two steps here. God's going to save you first, so the door is open and you can start praying for those people. Yeah. And what do? Back off. Let God be God. I'll tell you this. When I got saved in 1975, 3 months later, somebody showed me that scripture. Guess what? I start a prayer journey. Never had a doubt that my household would come. My stepfather died in 1996. And I was told recently that before he shut his eyes, he made a decision to follow Christ. The Lord healed my younger sister from cancer in her throat. She came to Christ along with her children. And mother, the toughest one, came to Christ. I prayed for 27 years without being worried. I'm not losing my sleep. I'm not screaming. I'm not crying. Please save my child. Absolutely not. My prayer was always the same. Lord, you said that if I believe, it's not only me, but the whole gang will come. So I'm just making you mindful of your word. My second sister, after mother, she was the toughest one. I don't believe this. That's all right. Never try to convince my sister to become a Christian. You know why? I'm not the Holy Ghost. You will never be able to convince your family member to come to Jesus unless you become the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, it's imperative that I must go. Because if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. But when he comes, he will convince the world from sin, righteousness, and judgment. Never gave up on that thought. Never lost my sleep over the salvation of any family member. One day, I got a letter from my second sister. She said, the Lord spoke to her. And all those words that I told her, the Lord quoted it to her in a dream. She jumped on the boat. She died 2 years later. My older sister, among the girls, I am the oldest. She came in, all that happened, accepted Jesus, and then she went back into the world. She suffered in an accident, and her spine was broken into 3 pieces. And they said, she is paralyzed for the rest of her life if she makes it. Guess what happened? Jesus, please! Can you please? You got your spine broken 3 pieces. You're dead. You're done. So she asked one of the daughters, call your uncle. Ask him if he can pray for me. So they get the cell phone by her bed. Can you pray for me that Jesus will heal my spine? It's broken 3 times. I'm in agonizing pain, blah, 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 blah. So no, I'm not going to pray for you. Excuse me? I'm not going to pray for you. What kind of brother are you? I said, just a smart one. If I pray for you, what is Jesus getting back? What? Isn't that what he's supposed to say? No. He's not your babysitter. So what is he getting back? Okay, I will come back. So no, it's not good. It's not good. Mm-mm. Not good enough. What do you want me to do? Well, make up your mind. You know, the book says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. So you got to make up your mind. You eat out there, and then you call upon the one that you are out there with, or you will serve God. This young lady made up her mind. Within 7 days, all the three pieces of the spine were put together. She is running around like an idiot today. 7 days. Folks, we forgot how to be happy because we decide to play God. You know what? If you do not let God be God, you're going to be long gone and your loved one will continue to do what they are doing. Because the power to transform them is not in you. It is the Holy Ghost who will convince these people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Are you with me? Well, last one left was my brother, the one that was here 2 months ago. A little incident happened on the way to the airport when I went to drop him. I need to say something to you. Go right ahead. I'm a little embarrassed. To you what? Oh, shut up. What? I don't want you to make fun of me. And I don't want you to tell that in church. So sure. Sure what? Sure. I'm not going to tell in church. Then I spoke very soft. Not all. What? I said, not at all. He had a growth. And I'm not going to tell you where the growth was. And he was afraid that it was cancer. So just to pick an answer, it's cancer. You know what his answer was? The blood of Jesus. Yes. That's what I want to hear. Lousy Jewish man, I don't believe in Jesus. But I say, that's cancer. The blood of Jesus. Oh, okay. Yes. When we get to the airport, we park, and right on the parking lot. So you want me to pray for you or what? Can you? So I'm going to give you the phone number from somebody that prays close home. No, I don't want anybody close home to pray. I want you to pray for me. All right? And they prayed for him. He sent me a message on WhatsApp. It's some kind of app that you can talk anywhere in the world for free. The lump disappeared. Get this. His Jehovah Witness wife sent me a message last night, night before last. She needs my address that she wants to see if she can get her visa and come and visit us. Are you with me? The secret is not getting worried about your children. And when they say I was throwing some eggs on you, I will challenge your salvation right now. If you think that are you saved, praise God, that's what you're supposed to think. What makes you think that your family will not be saved? Tell me. What? It says in here, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. So why is it so hard for us to believe on this? Well, you know, I see they are destroying themselves. And? Doing what you're doing has done anything? If it would have done anything, they wouldn't be destroying themselves anyway. I don't want my child to land in a hospital. That may be the very, very well the way, the place where God's going to call them from. Are you with me here? We are losing our happiness. We are losing our health and our resources, worried about family members. But that's not what God planned for you and I. So what you're saying, preacher? Let it loose and let it go. We do a poor job as gods. Let God be God. Let God be God. What is my child? It's mother's love. Baloney. Come that nonsense, mother's love. Well, you didn't care a child 9 months. Thank God I didn't. But your worry has not saved your children yet. Nor turned them around from the ways they are living. What you say? He says, if you believe you are the one who got it started, you believe and you'll be saved. And God will bring the whole gang in. That's God's work. Listen to the backslider translation on the same verse. Watch this, how crazy this thing is. They said, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you will live as you were meant to live. And everyone in your household included. Included. Tell your neighbor, you may not have realized, but your family member is saved. They're all included. God will call them, folks. God will call them. So how does this whole thing tie with happiness? I know a couple that every time that they jump into their car and went out for a ride, within 5 minutes, they start talking about their children and the mishappenings and the misbehavior. And this couple were miserable for 90 days. 90 days. Thank God one of them snapped out of it and the light came. Every time they get into that car, instead of enjoying the scenario and whatnot, they're talking back and forth, they're talking about the children. And how bad this child is, how bad that child is, how they don't want to hear to God, listen to the Lord, blah, 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 blah. And they got sick. Just going with this nonsense. God intended you to be happy. And for that reason, he put all in the package. Can you give him the never-inspired version? Listen, even the never-inspired version gets it. Watch this. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household. God made the provision for the salvation of your family. That doesn't mean that we came to Jesus and then you sit down and you don't talk anything about Jesus. No. We're talking here is that effort that you make to be miserable, to go out of your way, to try to convince your family member to think like you. It ain't going to happen because you're not the Holy Ghost. But you can do like Paul and Silas did. At midnight, they were praying, singing, and praising God. So what you're saying, preacher? Be happy. What about my family? At midnight when you wake up and you can't sleep anymore, you start praising God for their salvation. Start praising God for their salvation. Yes. Start praising God for the blessing that they will become in the kingdom of God. Pray that the forces of evil will let the grip go. And start praising God for their salvation. Amen. As you start doing this, the very foundation of the things that are keeping them slave out there will be loosed. Amen. And they're going to be set free. Amen. Amen? May the God of Israel bless you.